intellects, vast, cool, and unsympathetic, regarded this earth with envious eyes and slowly and surely drew their plans against us.
Hello, welcome to PC Invasion, the podcastening. Here we are again in the funky bunker. I have to stop calling it that. Let's copyright someone else. I'm Peter Parrish, hello. Joined, of course, as always, by my bunker colleagues. Tim McDonald, hello.
Hello.
Paul Junger, hi.
Hello.
Audio thing worked quite well last week, so we're doing it again. Hopefully it'll work well again this week. I am aware that the syncing wasn't perfect last week. I haven't fully figured out why that is. I think it's some weirdness about when Skype goes a bit out of sync for one of us, then we're suddenly reacting to each other on the Skype call and the local recording that we're doing is a bit different or something. Anyway, I know to watch for that, and I will try and fix it in post-production.
So. Speaking of watching for things, Peter, have you been watching a bit of Fry and Laurie recently?
No, I've seen all of it in the past.
Oh, okay. No, it was just the way you introduced us as my colleagues, or rather, my bunker colleagues. Because that's a very bit of Fry and Laurie thing, as my colleague.
Watch out for if I disappear to Belgium at some point and get really depressed, because... There you go, there's some deep Fry and Laurie lore for you. What else? Paul, how's our surveys going? I don't know, did you get a chance to look at them at the weekend?
Yeah, I have looked at them. There are some more comments which I will compile. Someone's upset with your bunker lore, though. We've got to get this sorted out.
Yeah.
There is a comment regarding the bunker lore, which is kind of worrying if that's the only thing they're worried about on the site.
No, it's important.
That is literally the only problem we have on the site, is the background.
Yeah. It's difficult. It's confusing. I think there's only one bunker, but I think it spans multiple time zones and possibly dimensions. That's my thinking on it. I mean, I know that's a bit of a cop-out, but...
It's just a really fucking big bunker.
it's a world-sized bunker. There you go. That makes sense.
It's like the Hollow Earth thing, Agartha, or whatever it is.
Yeah, Tim could walk to me, and Peter could walk to me, but they're too lazy, and therefore this is why we do it like this.
It would take a very long time. Literally months, and it would be very difficult to do a podcast over the course of that. Also, there's probably irradiated beasts in there somewhere.
Well, that's a
tunnel snakes.
I hope there's some tunnel snakes. I've heard they rule. What was I going to say? Oh yeah, well maybe we should have seasons, and we should rebrand after a year. And rather than being in the bunker, because I realised, right, we're PC Invasion, so that's PCI. And of course, the thing with PCI and PCs is PCI Express. So maybe we should be on a train. Maybe next year's podcast should be train-based.
Peter?
Mm-hmm. No.
Peter?
What?
Peter?
What?
Fuck off.
You're just making the lore even shitter now. I mean, come on.
What? I've been on a train's cool. You're on a train in Assassin's
No,
Creed
it's not. This right, Under Siege, that's a good film. Under Siege 2, that is a terrible film. One of them's on a train.
What about Source Code? That's all on a train, and that's a good film. With Jake Gyllenhaal.
Okay, yeah, I'll give you that one.
That's pretty good, isn't it? Source Code?
Was that Jake Gyllenhaal? Jesus.
Yeah. It was.
That was a good
film. Donnie Darko himself. Right, anyway, enough of that. I want to also say a rip to game trailers, which got summarily shut down yesterday with barely any notice to the staff, apparently.
Yeah, they got unceremoniously shat on by their owner company, which is disgusting, quite frankly.
Yeah,
I'm going to be perfectly honest, I haven't looked at game trailers in a while. I love a lot of their older content. I haven't checked a lot of their recent stuff. I don't check a lot of recent stuff on other sites, barring occasional bits and pieces. But I mean, just from a standpoint of someone actually working within this industry, that is a really fucking shit thing to have happen to you, and I feel really, really sorry for all of the employees who just suddenly got told, by the way, you've got no job anymore. Bye!
Yeah.
I think Jim Sterling wrote quite a good piece on this afternoon, actually.
Oh, he did?
Yeah, dig it out. It's actually a written piece this time and not a video, but it's sort of explaining the demise and you know, how it's not necessarily YouTube that's the problem, although that is obviously a problem, but it's also the fact that it's so much more accessible and the player is so much better, and it's just, to give it a read, have a look for it. I don't know the URL offhand.
I mean, they did put a lot of their stuff on YouTube, game trailers. That's where I watched some of it, to be quite frank.
Same.
But the thing is, though, once you're on there, YouTube, you kind of get caught in this spiral of shit where you end up, one minute you're looking at a video game review, the next minute you're looking at a cat playing a drum. You know,
sometimes they're the same thing.
Yeah. So you kind of get locked in. Stay away from it, Jesus.
I don't know. Yeah, I watched some of their shows. I liked Kyle Bosman's show, The Final Bosman, which is, I guess, actually is the final one, sadly, now. So I hope he carries on doing something somewhere else. But yeah, they did all right on YouTube as well. Like, they, you know, traffic hits wise, all right, they weren't getting like 2 million or anything ridiculous like that, but they seem to get numbers that I would have assumed could sustain you.
If you look at some of the larger sites, though, specifically the YouTube channels, what you find is that you'd expect the views on the stuff to be a lot higher than they really are, and it's almost like there's a stigma that because it's a professional outfit, people, I don't know whether they don't trust it or they just don't believe it or they don't, you know, it's kind of not their peers telling them about what, you know, what's great and what isn't. I think that that's become more of a problem the last couple of years. It's not a problem, it's just a change in what people are expecting to find.
Yeah, I believe the Let's Players, they never get offered to, you know, money or ask for money in order to cover things on their videos.
No, I mean, it's sad because there is so much good. There is so much good YouTube content, and a lot of it is just overlooked, and it's a shame.
Yeah,
don't get me wrong. Ours are shit.
Don't get me wrong. There are some really good Let's Players out there. They just don't tend to be the super popular ones.
I don't know. Isn't this like all media? You know, you see the people who become, you know, what are the massively popular musicians? What are the massively popular films? They're rarely the best ones.
Yeah, no, I mean, how the hell did David Bowie get to where? Stirring the pot. Shit.
Speaking ill of the dead, Paul.
I think that was actually complimentary. He's saying that, you know, Bowie is really, really good. How on earth did he become so popular?
Yeah, indeed. Absolutely. Alright. What's happened in PC games? I've noticed a bit of a, like, I don't know, bad ports, performance issues type theme in the news articles that I picked out, unfortunately. But all right, let's start with The Division and unnamed Division developer man saying, I have his actual quote, actually. He was talking with one of the YouTube channels, actually. That was kind of interesting because the guy, nowhere in that interview is the developer's name mentioned. I don't know who this guy was. He had a northeastern accent, like northeast of England. I don't know his name. But anyway, his offending sentence was, see if you can spot the part. He says, "All right, one good thing about The Division is we've always considered the PC version as a separate platform. I have worked on projects before where the PC version supports the console, so it carries those limitations over, but we've always been in the mind we will have a dedicated PC build, so it hasn't held it back too much. We do have to keep it in check with the consoles. It would be kind of unfair to push it so far away from them, but it's been good having a dedicated PC build for this game." That bit about it being unfair to consoles made some people very unhappy indeed.
Yeah, I'd just like to say, fuck off. Okay, right, just look, seriously, just fuck off.
You're not happy with this assertion?
No, when I watched the video thing at the weekend, I was kind of, I had to watch it about five times thinking, is this, am I taking this out of context? Is this actually, you know, which I don't, after listening to it about five times, no, I don't think I was taking it out of context. And why I can understand why people are kind of frustrated, because it's something that we talk about a lot. We have talked about a lot over the years about console versions basically crippling what would be possible on the PC, and especially on the big multi-platform AAA releases where, you know, it's coming out on every platform, and you kind of always have an inkling that it's going to be, it could be better than it really is. But I think the thing with this is that they've made such a song and dance about having this as a dedicated PC port that's been done completely separately. So it seems a really odd statement to say. And why the hell would it be unfair? I mean, we see DLC get released on consoles all the time that it doesn't appear on the PC. How is that not unfair?
Do we? There's the Mortal Kombat one, but I can't really think of any other.
Oh, okay, well, maybe not. Maybe it'll come to PC eventually, but it's always like exclusive DLC for such and
oh,
such.
Oh, right, you mean like the buy Assassin's Creed on the PlayStation 4 and get one extra mission, yeah. Which is yeah, actually and probably terrible.
Yeah, and that but that usually happens. The consoles are usually the ones that get the extras.
Mm. There's a lot of stuff to kind of unpack here. What struck me as a bit weird about this is that the PC version of The Division actually does seem to have gone, further than a lot of PC versions sometimes do, in the sense that, okay, right, it supports 4K resolutions, it has a better draw distance, it has better frame rates, it has better lighting if you use the HBAO Plus, it's got better shadows if you can run PC SS or whatever that NVIDIA one is that I can never run. Don't worry, nobody can run PCSS properly. It does have a lot of, you know, to give Ubisoft a bit of their due, it does have things that put it definitely over the console version. So I found it weird that he would even say that. I don't know what else it should have, theoretically.
I think more than anything, I think that it's a careless and very poorly phrased remark.
I mean, he was just, let's put it in context, right? In the video, he's playing some co-op with this guy. They're just chatting, and the YouTube guy's giving him some questions every now and again. Mm. Like, it's a pretty casual setting, you know, he doesn't have a PR guy looking over his shoulder, etc., etc. That kind of fits with that.
And this, everybody, is why we're not allowed to interview people without PR people over their shoulders. Because they will say something inadvertently, which is not exactly taken out of context, but is maybe poorly phrased, and a shitstorm ensues.
Mm. Well, the thing is, right, this is a new engine, I do believe. Am I correct in saying that? This is a new game.
Yes, yeah, Snowdrop. Yeah.
So we don't know what is possible, and we never will know what is possible. Mm. So could it actually be better? And that's how I take it, that actually we don't want it to be, we can do it, but we don't want to be so far away from the console.
Yeah.
See, the way I take it is more, are you going to be able to run it on maximum settings on your PC anyway? No.
I mean, here's an ideal PC version. For me, is one that goes all the way down to really low hardware. You know, like I love, I don't know if you've seen when people try to get GTA 5 running on laptops and stuff, and they start going to the INI files and like turning off shadows and stuff like that, and it looks like shit, but it's great that you can run GTA 5 kind of at 30 frames per second at a low resolution on a really old laptop. I like that. That's cool. So I like games that go that way, and I really like it when, you know, if you get like a crisis situation where at the top, ultra settings, it's basically saying, well, maybe in 5 years you might be able to run it like this. So ideally, games like that, but, you know, that takes a lot of, obviously, a lot of investment and work that may or may not be worth it. And also, I think that the developers are kind of wary that if you put in too much stuff, that does require really high-end hardware to run, then you get loads of people going like, oh, it's not optimized, oh, it doesn't run very well. Yeah, we'll turn down some of the fucking options. And then maybe it runs better.
Yeah, as I said, I don't think that it's a problem in and of itself. It's just that it's really badly phrased, and it's almost designed to incense the public, that exact sentence.
Yeah, because it's tapping into, sort of PC versus console concerns.
Pretty much.
I mean, a lot of the time what I feel like gets held back, if you like, is user interface stuff, which isn't anything to do with graphics, really. That's just whether they have the time or feel like they need to bother. You know, I don't know, did you mention Borderlands, Paul? Borderlands is one I remember that had a rubbish...
Defiance.
Yeah, Defiance.
You still mentioned Defiance.
You mentioned Defiance. You brought this on yourself. And I would put The Division somewhat in that category. Like, the interface is pretty console-y. You know, it works okay. It works fine with mouse and keyboard, but it could be better.
Yeah, I'm with you.
Graphics-wise, I don't know.
I'm with you on the interface stuff. That's like the first thing that jumped out when I fired it up. And it's the first thing that gets my bat signal or whatever it is, my boo port alarm ringing like a bastard when I see a really bad UI.
But I mean, let's also address the unfortunate thing that, like, if The Division doesn't happen on console, does it even happen on PC? You know, like, it's not a nice thing to think about with our PC superiority complex. But
it's not hampered XCOM, is it?
No. That's true. Although XCOM has
then again, yeah. Let's,
performance issues.
let's have a look at how that PC exclusive worked so fantastically on PC with no problems whatsoever, built specifically for the PC.
It can happen even when it's going to be PC exclusive. Although I don't know, do we reckon we'll see XCOM 2 on a console eventually? I kind of thought that we would, but then I don't know. I'm not so sure now. It wouldn't surprise me.
It wouldn't surprise me, honestly. Considering it's got, like, controller support built in and all the rest of it anyway, because they pretty much just ported that across from the console versions anyway. And in terms of interface and so on and so forth, it's practically the same as it ever was. It may have just been that XCOM didn't sell particularly well on the console, so they didn't bother doing a console SKU.
What's the deal with XCOM 2's performance, Tim? Well, I'm not asking you to explain why it's like it is, but it doesn't run as well as the first one, I believe.
What's weird about it as well is that the fixes that people are saying to try and help fix the problems are the same fixes that were used for the original XCOM.
Mm.
So it's almost like they've not even addressed the issues from the first one. All the same problems are here in the second one.
Yeah, that's... So what's that, like going in INI files and changing...
Of which there are 20 million for XCOM.
It's because it's a PC game.
Well, there are about 25 or 30. There is one that is relevant to actually fixing performance issues. And I do have to wonder if the changes that are made there can potentially cause some instability, which is why they haven't done them. The other INI files are largely for modding, because this is an extremely mod-happy game, which is really nice to see.
That's good. Yeah, always like to see that.
But yeah, it is a little bit unusual that you can essentially spend 5 minutes fiddling with an INI and suddenly most of the issues that you had have vanished.
All right, so have you tried this?
I have. I've done it. Honestly, I kind of got used to the problems anyway when I was playing sort of the review code. Because it's not... With a turn-based strategy game, I can kind of deal with the frame rate not going at a constant 60 all the time. So I kind of got used to it after a few hours. And for whatever reason, the frame rate also improved massively the second time I fired it up. Or rather, the second day I fired it up.
It's also one of those games where you know, it's not a shooter or anything, you know, so it's not like you can kind of live with it.
Yeah, it's hardly ideal, but on the other hand, it's not the sort of thing where it's actually going to cause you gameplay problems.
It's much more troublesome in a game where you need quick reactions to things and the frame rate's fluctuating and it's messing with your button inputs and things, definitely, yeah. Well, there's a couple of ports this week that have much more interesting and wide-ranging problems than XCOM 2 does. They have some Namco Bandai specials. The latest Naruto, whose full title I have forgotten.
Naruto Shippuden Ultimate Ninja Storm 4.
Thank you. Yes, that game. And also Tales of Symphonia, was the other one?
Yeah.
Which I know more about, in the sense of what was wrong with it.
I got that for free. Because that was one of the... It was like, if you pre-ordered the previous Tales of game, then this port was a bonus. Which was actually a really nice bonus as a pre-order. Have a game that isn't out yet.
Yeah. Not bad. Shame that the port wasn't very good, but don't worry.
So you went, shit, I can't run it.
You'll be able to run it, it's just it runs at 720p upscaled and only runs at 30 frames per second, even though the one on the GameCube ran at 60. So good going there.
That's a bit odd.
The Naruto situation is weird because, like, I mean, the Steam forums are just going apeshit, and there's people going, where there's like no response of, oh, that is a patch coming, we're working on a patch. I checked this yesterday, and there's like nothing. And it's like, what people are just sitting there going, what the hell do we do?
That had some weird sounding problems, like that the frame rate would drop to about 10 at some points, you know, even on pretty good PCs, so that's a strange situation.
I'm still waiting for review code of that, so...
Of course you are, Tim, because it's fucked. That's why you haven't got review code.
It's probably not turning up.
I don't know. Japanese games tend to turn up, like the review code turns up at the absolute earliest on release day. With Namco Bandai stuff, it is often partway through the following week. There is lengthy precedent for this, unfortunately, even with the ports that aren't problematic.
I'm in with Tecmo, though. They sent me Arslan Warriors of Legend.
Arslad?
A week ahead of Arslad. So hard not to just call him Arslad. Poor guy. He's just trying to get his kingdom back. that one had a beta version. Pre-release version knocking around, but I guess that's not always the case.
It does tend to be one of the rarer things with the Japanese games, and I'm not sure why. It might just be that so many of them are kind of made for the Japanese market, where Steam perhaps isn't quite so big, as I think we talked about briefly last week. How we have no idea what the Japanese PC culture is like.
Yeah, I think Tecmo are slowly figuring out that you do better on PC if you do a decent port.
The Naruto port, to go back to that, that actually surprised me a bit.
You've played previous ones. So.
Yeah, I mean, they were always locked at 30, but that was never, locked at 30 frames a second, that is, but that was never much of a surprise because they were ports from the 360 and the PS3, primarily. Engine that was optimized for them, and it's a fighting game, so it is actually a port where individual frames really do matter. So that wasn't too much of a surprise, whereas this is like a whole new engine, I think. It's PS4 and Xbox One, so you would kind of expect 60 frames a second. Kinda makes me wonder if they aimed at 30 frames per second on the consoles, and so we got that. And because it's a new engine, it's causing issues on the PC, which were previously resolved in the other earlier iterations of the game.
That's my curiosity with Arslan, which happily runs at 30. But then when you try and I don't know, this might, as I put in my port version impressions thing, this might be an AMD driver power saving downclocking issue, because I have had that in some games. But I suspect it might be that this game, after you go over 30, it starts going, oh, I'm not really sure what to do.
It kind of makes me wonder if it's a... which Capcom game was it? Was it Dead Rising 3, which officially only supported 30? Or was it The Evil Within? Officially only supported 30, but you could very easily bump it up to 60. Like, if I remember right, they actually had an option that let you bump it up to 60, but with the warning, this might cause weird shit to happen. We haven't fully tested this.
Yeah, it's not that weird shit happens in Arslan, it's just that it can't... I couldn't get it to 60. You know, I ran it at the lowest resolution, at like 640 by 360, to see what would happen, and it still wasn't quite getting to 60.
It actually runs at 640 by 360. It's been a while since I've seen a game run at that resolution.
It looks incredible. Credit to them for scaling it that low. But yeah, even that, it was like at 57 frames.
Seriously,
fucking hell. I'm there's nothing else I can do.
I am serious. I can't remember the last time small indie games and stuff coded in AGS and Unity and so on aside. I can't remember the last time I actually saw a release go below about 1024 by 768 windowed.
I should have, in my piece, I should have, for the lowest graphics setting, I should have had it in the lowest resolution as well. In ultra blocky vision. It's great. It's like, it's going back to play the PlayStation 1 game or something like that.
With regards to Naruto, I'm going to chase Namco Bandai about that tomorrow, because while I was still dealing with XCOM, I wasn't honestly that fussed about kind of not having another 20-hour game to dick around with. I will start chasing them about that tomorrow. If I still hear nothing, I will probably buy it myself. So we'll see what's happening.
The funny thing about the Tales of Symphonia port was that our good community friend Durante, savior of the bad PC ports, managed to fix the resolution stuff and some of the other stuff in about 10 minutes. I mean, I know he's good at what he does, but he's not a magical code wizard who can do things beyond the realms of mortal men. So this does suggest that they could have done this quite
maybe
easily.
Maybe he actually is a magical code wizard. Maybe he should maybe he should start up like a consulting ports development agency where you do your port and then you send it over to him and he fixes it in 10 minutes and sends it back.
And then, it goes, right, you can release this build. It works now. it also had some really dodgy DRM stuff, which was bizarre. Some weird thing that would, like, create a new .exe file every time you launched it, and that would make modding it and fixing the port harder than it should be. So why are you putting DRM on this ancient GameCube game? What's going
on? Because it's an ancient GameCube game, and thus everybody is going to pirate it rather than play it, rather than buy it.
Oh, yeah, I guess so. I don't know. Anyway, that was very, very poor Namco. I mean, normally some of their ports have been alright, but those two, not so good. Right. Speaking of disappointing things on PC, Paul, you've been playing Goddess Wars.
Really? Did you have to remind me of that?
Yeah, I want to know all about
it. No, you don't really.
Yeah,
I want to ask a question actually about this, because I heard, and I don't know if this is true or not, but I did hear that apparently once you finish the first continent on Goddess Wars, initially, it asked you to pay for the next continent, like add microtransactions for future levels. And then they removed that almost immediately due to uproar.
Yeah, that they got cut out on that actually really quick, probably within a matter of hours. And then that was swiftly yanked from the Steam version, which makes you think, is Molyneux sitting there with his little pad and his little pen going, ooh, can we screw them over some more here? Oh, I know, we'll put this paywall in for every continent.
No, oh, you see, you think that Molyneux is evil. I think that Molyneux is just operating on some level that is not human.
What, like a higher plane?
Yeah.
Are you saying Peter Molyneux is an alien of some
possibly
kind? Or a deity.
Also possible.
A goddess-like deity.
Now, if he was a deity, he would actually put out a good god game.
That's assuming that he's a good deity.
Does he see us all as little peons in his games? You know, he's just... He's just clicking on his customers and hoping that money comes out.
Yeah, this could be some bizarre experiment, one of 22 cans experiments, where they just keep releasing really shit games just to see how far they can push people before they break.
If we release it again, can we just get away with it?
Yeah.
All right, so... You popped up a preview version.
Yeah, I mean, I played a bit of Goddess until I realized it was shit, and then I kind of didn't play. I played enough of it early on to go, "Oh man, what are you doing?" There just wasn't enough there, and this is kind of the same. Where'd you start? I just can't really get why they'd bother. I mean, they really should just put this to bed, seriously. Mm. But anyway, it's just Goddess, and you build your settlements, you sculpt the land, the settlements, they put little houses down, you get more followers because they kind of breed or whatever, you have to flatten the land so they can put more settlements. The settlement, you then have a big button which you press, and it basically turns it into, the settlements sort of come together and turn it into a citadel. Once you've got the citadel, you can build a bunch of soldiers. And then you could just sort of waltz them across the map to take out the enemy and capture their belief tower. That is it. In which you're not really doing much at all, apart from clicking the group of soldiers over to where you want to attack. And that's it. Mm. And they gain a bit of experience if they stay alive. But it's so, the AI just sort of stands there while you're like pummeling the little buildings on the outside with arrows. And you can lose... You can lose match games, like, but only just usually because of stupid things. So I can't really explain. It's kind of to do with timing. There's just not a game here. There's just not really a game. It's like, we've got this base thing. We need to do something with it. So we'll make this thing where you get a bunch of soldiers, you move them to the other side of the map and try and take them out. And that's it. And the bloody land sculpting is just still shit. It's still a pain. It's still fiddly to use to drag it around. And, oh, man. Yeah. And plus, you're still clicking on things. You're still clicking on boulders and trees to get belief. They want you to keep holding your mouse down on things so you can get your belief up. It's like, fuck off. How tedious is that?
That's the touchscreen thing, isn't it? That's sort of touching and dragging type of...
Yeah, but this is supposed to be... It's supposed to be like.
What are you laughing at?
Sorry. Yeah, it's the word touching.
Yes. Well, anyway.
Peter Mullen using appropriate touching.
Peter Molyneux releases just... Touch the Little People.
He starts you off small with like touching boulders, that's alright. Touching trees, that's fine. Touching the people.
Yeah. Not sure about that one.
Not sure. I feel like this is a bit wrong.
So I kind of get that he's trying to make good by the PC community and make this a PC sort of. But I mean, seriously, that the base, the whole foundations of it is just shaky as hell. And they'd be much better if they just put it to bed and moved on, because they're just going to piss even more people off.
It's sad because superficially it sounds like Populous. You know, superficially, right? You know, you're lowering the ground to have people settle and sending people off to attack. I know Populous is like 20 or 30 years ago, so obviously things have moved on. But clearly it goes wrong in several places.
Well, if you just made like a new Populous or something that was up to today's standards, it would probably do better than this. Oh, I don't know.
Like, what is it? Are you still laughing about
touching? No, sorry. Okay. This is something totally different. Perhaps I'll...
Do you want to share with the class?
I can. Okay, digressing away from Goddess Wars and terrible PC games for a moment. We get loads of spam emails, or at least I do, because my junk filter is shit. What I've taken to doing at this point is whenever I see a spam email, I read it intentionally in the wrong way. Like I've got bits and pieces like, "Eating this caused my husband to last 3 hours," which, you know, is clearly meant to be some sort of really dangerous sex drug, presumably. Whereas I take a look at that and think, okay, you've poisoned your husband. He only lasted 3 hours. There's another one below that, which is, "Wow, he got big," which again is probably meant to be some sort of sex drug thing. And yet I can't help but think, it made someone incredibly obese.
Or just turned into a giant of some kind. Some kind of fantastic.
Right, you can go back to talking about Peter Molyneux now.
Right, thank you. Well, you know, much like the giants in Black and White.
I'm putting this down to blood flow to the head for Peter Molyneux, and because he's now not wearing as many turtlenecks. And so there's too much that blood is, going to the head. It's not being restricted enough.
Interesting.
At this point, he actually looks like a helium balloon on a string. You've just got his head,
That's why he's not been doing interviews.
There's just kind of a wobbly, floppy bit below that.
with no arms and no legs.
Yeah.
So are there any like god power spells in Goddess Wars? Like, because that's obviously, you know, earthquakes.
You get these cards, which basically you get and then you drag them in and then it gives you like buffs. I know. See,
it's always cards. We can talk about this.
I'm getting fucked off with cards in games. I really am. I kind of feel it's a cheap way of adding this layer of strategy to it. I don't know. Anyway, so you get these cards. And then there's like this random tombola thing that spins. Tim, you're winning.
Right. When you say you're annoyed with cards, do you mean you're annoyed with the fact that they are visually represented as cards? Because in a lot of ways, this isn't any different to sort of one-use power-ups that you would get in basically anything else, except that they are depicted as cards.
But they give you this. Screen where like you're getting some sort of random thing where you get a choice of three and you pick one. It's like, ooh. Pisses me off. Don't like it. Don't like cards. Don't like cards. Forget cards. Stop making games with cards. In fact, Hearthstone, piss off. That's got lots of cards. Well,
yeah, I mean, if you're doing like a PC poker game, you should probably include cards.
But... No, Paul doesn't like cards.
Hearthstone without cards would be brilliant.
Hearthstone without cards would be a fucking blank screen.
I know, brilliant.
I do find it a bit weird that stuff like Tomb Raider has cards in it. I get it. I get how they work and that it's just modifying the level and whatnot.
Again, though, it doesn't have to be cards. I mean, it could just be any other sort of one-use power-up. It's just a visual representation.
Even if it was three pieces of cheese, Tim, I'd still not like it.
Right, okay, so you just don't like you don't like the element itself rather than the fact that it is specifically cards. That's what I was trying to nail down. Okay.
I just find it curious that a lot of games are depicting. I think it's because you can also kind of sell card packs
and bastards.
And they're a thing that lends itself to transactions of a financial sort, is my guess. But it's weird. There's cards in Arslan Warriors of Legend as well. There's never been cards in Dynasty Warriors.
See?
What's going on?
See, it's all cards.
Suddenly there's cards. Yeah, I know.
Stop making games with cards.
I bring back
Right, is this is this the new thing? Have they learned that, you know, like after MMOs were the big thing and MOBAs were the big thing and so on, they've learned like trading card games, they do quite well. But we won't make one of those. We will just sneakily put cards into other games.
I am convinced it's some like psychological thing.
It will be. Right? Blizzard spend a lot of time on the psychology of stuff like Hearthstone and the audio and the sounds and the sense of achievement. They admit that there is a big psychology involved in this.
Oh yeah,
I'm convinced that the games are going for the like. Oh, if you play a bit longer, you might get another card and it'll slightly.
Although on the other hand, I suppose counteracting that is the fact that Hearthstone is like the only Blizzard game that actually has cards in it. They're not into that.
I don't know if Hearthstone is the best example, because that is actually.
I'm just taking that to extremes
At the point where they add cards to Diablo 3 and Heroes of the Storm, that's the point where you've maybe got something there. But, you know, Hearthstone is maybe a poor example.
Yeah. I'm sending a mail to Blizzard straight after this. I want Diablo 4 to have cards.
Yep. It's gonna, instead of like all the loot, it's gonna be cards. You're gonna get a sword cards, you know, gauntlet cards, whatever. Are you done with Goddess Wars?
Done with Goddess Wars for now and forever.
Peter, I'm fairly certain he was done with talking about Goddess Wars before we even started this conversation.
I just wanted to torment him a little bit.
So anyway, the bottom line is, don't, please, please, please don't buy it. Please.
Yeah, I mean, you got it for free, right? Because Goddess people
because
get it.
Yeah, because Molyneux's already been to the pub with my fucking 20 quid for Goddess.
Right, what happened to old Brian who won?
Oh, he's a deity in this. So I bet he's going, oh, wow, that really has changed my life, wealth and riches.
I'm in this shit game that everyone hates.
Yeah, he's one of the...
Forever immortalized.
He's one of the opposing deities, isn't he? Well, presumably he'll be getting a share of this money from Goddess Wars.
All right, in that case, maybe do buy it to help Brian out, because, you know, he's had a rough time with this curiosity
but
goddess.
The fun thing is, he doesn't give Brian, from everything I've read, he doesn't give a shit now. So it doesn't really
matter. That was mostly because he's had like 5 years of getting literally no response from them.
He's given up hope, the poor guy. Yeah, he's kind of...
It'd be really nice if he gets a nice big check in the mail or something now.
It's going to be for about 50 quid.
Lifetime supply of turtlenecks.
It's going to be vouchers to spend in Goddess. Thank you, Brian. There you go, here's your reward. Buy more Goddess things. Right, Tim.
Hello.
XCOM 2. Have you finished XCOM 2?
Hang on a minute, I just want to say that I have been walking around the house all week going, XCOM 2 Electric Boogaloo. And I don't know why, right? But that would have just been a brilliant name for it.
It may have undercut the tone of the game slightly, but...
Yeah, well, until you start getting the specialist upgrades that let them electrify areas anyway.
Maybe that should have been the Electric Boogaloo upgrade. XCOM 2.
It's a good game. I'm having a really hard time deciding whether I like it more than its predecessor. Because it's quite different in some ways, like the amount of time pressure it puts on you in absolutely every single situation. Which a lot of people don't like, and that has obviously been completely modded at this point.
I've noticed that one way to seriously divide a player base is to add timed events. This happens the Dead Rising series, I think, got that quite
In this case it kind of works in two ways. Like on the Geoscape, it's primarily, other than the fact that, you know, you've got a race against time, you've got this big counter that is continually ticking up, and early game you have no way of stopping it from ticking up. It's kind of the mid to late game you can start to wrangle it back down a bit. So it prevents, or rather it presents, a degree of stress at that point. In missions, it's like, okay, you've got 8 turns to get to this terminal and hack it, and then you can go and deal with mopping up all the aliens or what have you, which primarily works to stop you from doing the old XCOM strategy of move someone forward, put them into Overwatch, move someone forward, put them into Overwatch, and very slowly and carefully moving forward and eliminating, you know, things from safe positions. You actually have to take risks.
So that's why all my guys are getting wiped out then on every mission. Put them in concealment. But hey, actually, one of the mods actually I put in the mod list this week was the, I think it was called the concealment mod, where you basically, the timer wouldn't tick until you were discovered by the aliens. So if you stayed concealed, the timer wouldn't tick down. But if as soon as you come out of concealment, it would start ticking, which I thought was quite a good mod, actually. It's a good balance.
Yeah, that seems like a way of kind of evening things out a little bit. If the timers piss you off, then that sounds like a pretty good way of doing it. Rather than lengthening the timer massively, that gives you a chance to scout out the level, have a look around, and you know, plan your approach and so on and so forth. And then you get your 8 turns to get to the objective or whatever.
Yeah.
And to execute your mission. Yeah.
So, yeah, that's...
Yeah, I guess, how have you found it working then, Tim? Because I know that you played it on hard and found it a bit ridiculous.
I played my first campaign on normal. And my first campaign on normal I did actually succeed at, which surprised me massively. Because in true XCOM fashion, from about 5 hours in, I thought I was completely screwed and in a horrific death spiral. But I thought, you know what, I'll carry on playing. I'll explore the tech tree a bit. You know, I'll get a better grasp of what's going on. And slowly, I did manage to kind of pull it back. I was playing continually on a knife edge until about 20 hours into the campaign, where I actually managed to sort of secure a bit of a foothold, and I felt a bit more secure in what was going on. My second campaign, I decided to play on the hardest difficulty on Iron Man mode, and I got skull-fucked.
Alien skull-fucked.
Yes. I got completely and utterly fucking destroyed. Yeah, that didn't go well. I'm not quite sure how I can explain that. It went badly. Rookies are fucking terrible. Coming across difficult aliens from Mission 1 who are capable of quite easily shooting you from behind high cover, whereas your rookies have a 30% chance to hit them at point blank range. It's not easy. I actually have a couple of ideas as to how I could kind of work off of that though, but,
I was going to ask whether that's a problem that you think is, you know, strategically speaking, that needs to be a problem that is in some way.
Yes and no. I mean, the hardest difficulty in XCOM, I think the statistics, if you look at the Steam achievements, there are like 1.7% of players have the achievement for beating the game in Iron Man on either of the two higher difficulties. And something like, right. I think something like 0.8% have the achievement for beating the game on the hardest difficulty. So the number of people who've actually beaten the hardest difficulty on XCOM without save scumming is probably in the region of about 0.1%, if not lower.
So there is the expectation of failure.
Yes, pretty much. You're going to need luck as much as you're going to need skill.
So is this the first game where saving the planet actually isn't that easy?
Well, it's not the first game because the previous game did it as well. But yeah,
I don't know. I still liked Terror from the Deep. How Terror from the Deep was made stupendously difficult because of a bug in the first game. No. Like the first game had a bug where UFO enemy unknown. It had a bug where when you saved it and reloaded your save, no matter what difficulty you saved it as, your loaded save would reset it to like normal difficulty. So you had people who started a game on the hardest difficulty and then they were unknowingly playing it through on normal, and then they complained that it was way too easy. So they made Terror from the Deep much, much, much harder to compensate for this. And it turned out that actually that was just because of a bug, that nobody had actually experienced the higher difficulties.
Yeah. Which explains Terror from the Deep being utterly fucking ridiculous. UFO Enemy Unknown was already pretty ridiculous.
Terror from the Deep was actually the first of the games that I played through. I played the demo of UFO Enemy Unknown, but Terror from the Deep was the first one that I actively, you know, played the full version of. And eventually finished, somehow. Probably on the lowest difficulty while save scumming, because I think I was about 10 at the time.
I'd really like them to have a go at Terror from the Deep. You know, for Axis to do some Terror from the Deep action. I think undersea alien invasions are a good source, a rich narrative vein.
It was interesting. It was also very Lovecraft based Terror from the Deep in a lot of its lore.
Yeah.
Like I think the primary villain in Terror from the Deep was like some ancient slumbering psionic alien that is influencing people, and if it rises it will devour all of humanity and so on and so forth. It was very Lovecraft.
Yep.
But
with less racism.
Well, no, there was still racism, it was just against aliens. Or is that speciesism? But,
You know,
I'm not...
You know what those aliens are like. So it's fine.
I do like it. It does have bugs. It's got stuff that I'm not quite certain of, like, you know, the timers and so on and so forth. Makes it very hard for me to sort of quantifiably stack it against its predecessor. But it is one of those games where it's very easy to say, yes, it's a good game, and yes, irritatingly, if you liked Enemy Unknown, you'll like this. Because it does the same stuff.
Unless you hate timers, in which case
just mod them.
Yeah, true. True.
Which also makes it quite hard to review in a sense, because it's like, okay, it's got these bits and pieces that are rubbish, but you can already get mods that fix that shit. It does have save corrupting bugs. People have discovered those already, which is, again, kind of to be expected. Enemy Unknown had the same stuff, where it kind of needed a few patches. And if you risked playing on Iron Man, you know, within the first couple of months, you could conceivably screw over your save game. It's got issues, but it still does all of the XCOM stuff. Like, you will suddenly meet a new alien and you will have no idea how to deal with it, and it will destroy you because it will do things you weren't expecting. And the example I gave earlier, I think, was Sectoids, who have gone from being sort of the easiest, most worthless enemy in the game to mind-controlling, zombie-raising assholes with loads of health.
Yeah, I don't like them.
Don't worry, Paul. It gets worse. I fucking rejoice when I see Sectoids now, because it means I'm not dealing with anything worse.
And they even look much more dangerous. You know, I've seen the XCOM 2 version of the Sectoid. He looks quite fearsome, whereas in the prior game, they're like these little dumpy little grey aliens who aren't this, particularly...
Well, again, this is referenced. It's like, it's 20 years since the events of the first game, or rather 20 years since you lost the first game. And, you know, now most of the aliens have been genetically modified further. Such is the case with the Sectoids. They've got a bit of human DNA in them now, so they're... you know, they've changed a bit. Yes. Sex toys.
You don't like the sex toys?
No,
Paul.
I don't like the sex toys.
How much have you played, Paul? How far in are you?
I've only played a few missions, because I was mainly just messing around with some of the mod stuff. Okay. So I'm not anywhere into it at all, when it's like one of those games that it's just I'm going to dive into on and off now. Test stuff out.
It is.
Keep trying out mods.
It is something. I think my next thing to do is I'm going to stick on a load of mods, and I'm going to start an Iron Man campaign on the next difficulty down. I can't remember what it's called. The hard difficulty rather than the impossible difficulty.
Just be wary of the mods, though, because I think a lot of them do screw your saves. If you make a save with a mod enabled, and then you try and disable it, and then try and reload it again without that mod, it will totally cock it up.
Yeah, naturally. I mean, there are a couple of really nice quality of life mods that I've seen, which, if they work, I will be very happy about. Like the one, I think I posted a comment in the mods article about it, where it actually indicates how much health an alien has and how much it has left. You don't have to count the pips; it gives you a number. Which is so useful in the late game when you've got aliens with like 5 armor and 25 health. And you're sat there going, okay, I can do 10 to 14 damage with a hit. So if I subtract 5 armor from that, now it's showing that I can kill it, but okay, so that's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. It would make that a hell of a lot less frustrating. So I'm going to have to give that mod a shot.
Yeah. Sounds good.
It is a game that is also full of hilarious moments and ridiculous stories, like when your entire squad gets wiped out by a berserker because you didn't quite understand how they worked, or when you go and rush in to attack a muton in melee without realising how terrible an idea that is. Or the occasion
I'm just taking notes, Tim.
I'm deliberately leaving some of the worst surprises, don't worry. The occasion I had where there was an enemy soldier who was kind of in high cover, and he was about 3 flights up in a building, and we just couldn't kill him because, you know, he was high up, he had loads of cover, so he had high accuracy, it was next to impossible to hit him. And then a grenade that I set off earlier that had sort of damaged the structure of the building made the floor underneath him collapse, and he toppled 3 floors and died. You know, moments like that are brilliant. Just moments where everything goes either perfectly or everything goes about as horribly wrong as is possible.
You were telling me the other day it's quite funny when you are taking a shot basically from point blank range, but the random number generator decides to begin. You've got the barrel against someone's head and then suddenly you veer off to the left and take a shot. What are you doing?
It was one of my He's right. One of my rangers taking a shotgun shot at point blank range, and then their model rotates sort of about 45 degrees so they're pointing off to the side and they fire.
It's like someone set up a firework in the distance and they've been distracted by it.
Like, I know some people have been complaining about this, but you know, it's a 90% chance to hit. That is not a 100% chance to hit. There is a difference.
It has to show. It has to visually show it in some way. It just happens to be.
Yeah, you know, that's fair enough. People miss at point blank range because there is a chance that they are going to miss.
Surely this is just about the gun jam or something.
The 10% stuff does work in your favor at times, because one of the things you unlock is weapon modifications. And some of those are really, really useful. Like, there's one which is like, your soldier can reload 3 times each mission for free without spending an action point or anything, which is amazingly good if you stick it on a sniper who's got the ability, where he can shoot at everyone in Overwatch, not just one person. You know, that's fantastic. We've also got other bits and pieces, like there is a 5% chance that the soldier using this gun, the attack will not take an action. There is a 5% chance that if this soldier hits with an attack, it will instantly kill the enemy, regardless of how much health they have. You know, these are very, very rare events, but they do occasionally work in your favour. It's not just when you miss a 95% chance shot. There are the alternatives as well.
Good.
Basically, it's a good game. There are things that will probably annoy you about it, but there are quite a lot of mods, and it's more XCOM. It's different XCOM. The fact that you are familiar with Enemy Unknown will not help you.
Hooray! So, a review of that coming up pretty soon, I would imagine.
Yeah, I've written about a page of it. I'm hoping it'll be tomorrow. We will see what happens.
That's all right. We've got full Arslan Warriors of Legends day going on at the moment.
Tell me, Peter, how is Arslad?
Arslad's okay.
Arslad Halls of Legend.
Yes. It's a Dynasty Warriors game, effectively, but it ties in with a anime series, which is in itself based on novel series, which is in itself based on an old Persian saga epic thing. But the thing you need to know mostly is that it's based on an anime. And unfortunately, the anime kind of hasn't concluded. It's done a first season. So this game also concludes a little bit abruptly on a bit of a cliffhanger in much the same way.
Welcome to every single Naruto game before the one that's just been released.
Which was a bit... I was a bit surprised because, you know, you... Basically, the crux of this game is you are Prince Arslan and chums, occasionally, whose home nation has been invaded. You are then going around trying to get together the resistance and loyal lords and stuff, rally them to your cause to then come back and retake the capital.
Hang on, is this feudal XCOM 2?
Possibly.
Also, is this set in Narnia, since his name is Aslan?
No, it's set in not Persia, but sort of Persia. And then also...
So the alternate title for the game is Prince of Not Persia.
Yes. He doesn't jump around quite as much as Prince of Persia. He's pretty agile. You also go to not quite India at one point as well. You get involved in like a foreign war. Where you're helping out a guy fighting his brother. Anyway, the point is, basically, pretty much the last line of the game is like, right, onwards to retake the capital and keep it. So,
Spoiler alert.
I know. Well, he probably will retake the capital, just in, you know, the next season of the anime.
Guys, it's
Warriors of Legend 2.
It's based on a Persian myth from over 1,000 years ago. I think that the, you know, spoilers have probably elapsed by now, the date
on it. I
think
the heroic prince is probably going to do all right for himself. No, but barring that, it's, yeah, it's a Dynasty Warriors game with, I guess, a bit more of a narrative, not Naruto, narrative focus. Because in between every single battle, you get a lot of anime cutscenes. And based on a couple of the episodes that I watched out of interest, basically pulled straight from the anime. So I feel like I've kind of seen the anime in some ways now, because I've watched a lot of cutscenes in between.
That's not necessarily a bad thing if it does actually give you a sense of the story without forcing you to actually watch the source material. Then hooray!
No, it does a good job of following that. It feels to me that it's a kind of you're a fan of the anime and this is your first Dynasty Warriors game, rather than you're a fan of Dynasty Warriors, maybe you'd like to look at this tie-in, because it's quite simplified from even I know Dynasty Warriors is already simple as hell, but it's kind of pared back even more, really.
Run forwards, push button, hit lots of people.
Yep, that's still in there. But this kind of, you know, Dynasty Warriors 8 has like about 80 some characters in it, whereas this has like a dozen maybe, and you're mostly playing three or four of them.
Right.
And while it still has some cool Dynasty Warriors-esque moments where you have the guy who's a painter who just sets up his easel in the middle of a battlefield and launches paint at people to hurt them and hits people with his paintbrush and stuff, which is great.
Is it Johnny Nice Painter from the Fast Show?
It's black. No, he uses all colours. All of his colours are deadly. Not just that. There's kind of not, for me, there's not enough of that. The stuff that I like from Dynasty Warriors is where you have someone with, you know, a scroll that he's beating people to death with, or some fans. And it pushes the sort of absurdity as high as possible, whereas I think because of the source material, it's a bit more serious. You know, it's doing like a melodramatic, prince has to reclaim his throne, and, you know, there's betrayals among the lords, and, you know, kind of like light Game of Thronesy type way. It's not nearly as brutal as that, but...
There are no points with people getting their teeth smashed in and their eyes gouged out and then their head pulverized into red chunks.
No.
Okay, that's good.
None of that business. There's a battle early on where the Arslan's country's cavalry get defeated because the other guys have cunningly dug a trench, so they all just fall into a trench. And then rather less amusingly, they pour oil in there and set them all on fire.
Oh.
But that is quite an effective tactic, apparently, against cavalry. That works quite well.
I would imagine it is, yes. I'm sorry, I was just thinking that, you know, I'm just thinking of a cavalry charge and then, oh shit, there's a hole. Well, we're fucked.
Yeah, basically. Basically that, yeah.
I'm assuming that this trench is actually somewhat disguised rather than just being a gaping hole in the ground.
They've put like smoke or fog all over the battlefield to help conceal it a little bit. Yes.
Okay. See, that's
they weren't just like, there's a hole up there. Do you reckon we should maybe call a halt to this cavalry charge? I don't know. It's probably fine.
See, this was way funnier in my head than what you've just said.
Sorry there to ruin it for you. So you know, it's fine as a Dynasty Warriors game. I've just played better ones in terms of the scope and the absurdity, frankly. It's fine. It's okay if you're interested in the anime or are a fan of the anime and or Dynasty Warriors. There's something of interest there for you. More so if you're into the anime, I would say, than into Dynasty Warriors. I think if you like that series, then something like Dragon Quest Heroes is more interesting because it takes some of the features and from both licenses, from Dragon Quest and from Dynasty Warriors, and does something quite interesting with it. And if you want pure Dynasty Warriors, maybe stick with 8, the one that's on PC. It's fine. It's okay. That's why I gave it 5 out of 10. Because it's fine.
That's not
a reminder, that's not a bad score on our site. That's just this game's pretty okay, but not maybe not that spectacular.
Yeah. Yeah. That reminds me, actually.
It looks quite nice.
The one thing I wanted to say about XCOM 2, which I'd totally forgotten about, is that it actually has a story that makes sense, as opposed to the original game, where the last mission made absolutely no sense.
I never got to the last mission. You can spoil it for me if you want.
I don't know if I should spoil it for the listeners, though. Maybe some of them have just picked up XCOM Enemy Unknown in the sale.
Sure, okay. We can leave that oblique.
Let's just say that the ending to XCOM makes no sense whatsoever, whereas the ending to XCOM 2 actually kind of does, and it kind of sets up for a third game. But there are a number of directions they go with it. But no, it does actually, it tells a story. Not a particularly innovative one. You will probably see a lot of it coming. But yeah, it actually tells a story that makes sense, which is a nice change from its predecessor.
I would say the same for Arslan. I think probably because of its source material, it's got a lot of aspects and features of narrative from those kind of older epic sagas that then become staples for obvious reasons.
Sure.
But then you kind of, yeah, you kind of see where that's going. It's like, ooh, who's so the former kingdom, the former ruler was overthrown and had a kid. I wonder who this other mysterious mask-wearing commander who's wanting to exact vengeance upon the realm. I wonder who he might be.
I will also not say the same about Goddess Wars.
That's what Goddess Wars, it needs a story. It needs a nice story. Is there any story in Goddess Wars, actually?
Oh, I don't care.
Well, I thought we'd agreed we weren't talking about Goddess Wars anymore.
Right, okay, all right, we won't talk about Goddess War. Let's talk about what we'll have on coming up on the site this week.
Nobody knows.
At some point there will be an XCOM 2 review. There will probably be some impressions of Naruto Shippuden Ultimate Ninja Storm 4. I'm kind of tempted to write a thingy about my failed Legend Iron Man campaign. About how exactly that went so horrifically wrong. So I did take quite a lot of screenshots from that, so I could do an after action report on how badly I got destroyed.
It's going to be depressing. Here's how humanity failed.
It might be quite funny.
True. I'm pretty sure, even though it's embargoed, I can say that I have the part 2 of the Pillars of Eternity expansion, White March, that I'm playing at the moment. That's not out till next week though, and so yeah, embargoes and such.
Yep.
But yeah, that.
I'll probably play something, but I don't know what. Just something. Actually, you know, it's a division beta this weekend, so I may go in and get pissed off at that again.
Oh, yeah, that's Scott's open beta now. So I could theoretically try that, except I'll probably be busy with an anime fighting game.
Paul, did you say you'd looked at Fortified a little?
I have looked at Fortified. I jumped on again for the last couple of nights. I've jumped on for some multiplayer co-op action, and my god, I'm shit at it.
I don't know
if I'm shit at it or it's just extremely hard.
For people who don't know, it's basically a kind of Orcs Must Die-ish, but sci-fi.
Yeah, it's sci-fi.
A tower defense action game.
Yeah. I mean, I'll tell you what, I really like the style of it, and I've actually had quite a lot of fun playing it for the small amount of time that I've had time to play it this week. So I probably will go back to that, actually, and have another look at that. But I need to get a bit further with it to get unlock some more stuff and stuff like that. But
I do love my tower defense, and I do love my 60s sci-fi, so I have been meaning to have a look at that. I just haven't had the time. Yeah, if you're having a horrible time with it, if you're doing really badly, then that might just be that it's a particular brand of tower defense that you need to kind of figure out how you're meant to play it, or it might just be that it's really hard.
I wouldn't say it's really hard.
I mean, as an example, like I've played a lot of tower defense games, like Defense Grid, Plants vs. Zombies, Shannon Tweed's Attack of the Groupies. You know, I've played a lot. I started playing
all the classics.
Yeah, I started playing Dungeon Warfare. I think it's called Dungeon Warfare recently, which is a very a very typical... I kind of... Any words that I can use to describe it will sound negative, but they're not. It's a very pure tower defense game.
It
has kicked the living shit out of me once I got about 6 or 7 levels in, simply because I was playing it the wrong way. I was trying to play it like a different tower defense game, if that makes any sense. It kind of required me to go, oh, okay, no, I'm meant to be playing it like this. And once I got that, then suddenly it wasn't quite so impossible. It was just really hard.
Yeah. Oh, no, it's just something I need to actually play more of. I'm enjoying what I'm playing of it so far, put it that way, and I'm still a bit of a noob on it. I mean, I think the last game I played with some guy last night, and my score was woeful. compared to his, and I'm just like, what the hell?
But did you win though overall?
It just became so mental at one point that basically it was too much. There was like rolling balls coming at us and hovering spacecraft and all kinds of shit, and it was just becoming like coming from all angles. We were just like trying to defend 2 points, and it just became absolutely mental. But I've enjoyed what I've played of it so far. I mean, it's really nice looking, actually. It's just got a nice style to it.
Right. Well, some of that stuff will be happening.
There will be stuff on the site, guys. Worry not.
Yeah. Plus, you know, other articles that pop up that we do in reaction to things happening and stuff like that.
Yeah.
All that good stuff.
Oh, just actually, because I think this has changed since the last podcast. I don't know if you've noticed, but the news is now on the right-hand side of the page, and the main content is in the middle of the page. And that's based kind of on feedback on, I think, what people want to read. I mean, we don't want to, you know, put a massive emphasis on all the news, and we talked about this a little bit last week. So we're still making little tweaks. There's been a few things added this week, and we'll keep tweaking and improving.
And I can't see the comments anymore.
What do you mean you can't see the comments?
Well, they're not on the right of the page. The instant I go to our main page, they're not directly in my eye line, so I can't see people calling me a cunt immediately.
You don't have to scroll very far, though.
Yes, yeah, it's right there, Tim. Jeez. Use your fingers, man.
I'm gonna have
do a bit of Peter Molyneux touching.
I'm gonna have to figure out some sort of grease monkey script or something like that, so that I can just hide the comments.
That's right. Grease yourself up and then do some touching. That's what you need to do.
And on that note,
thanks for people who commented about the audio changes last week, and basically were all positive. So yeah, good. Hopefully we'll get to continue in this vein. It's slightly more effort, but definitely worth it, I think. So good. Right, back again next week with another one. It'll be number 35. This was number 34 for those of you keeping count. Goodbye.
Toodle pip.
Goodbye.
And silent. Under the dawn of that last great day.
Just make more of me. Just make all of your soldiers me. Like a clone army.